just this past week at Brother Andy Bennett's funeral, I believe a nephew sang the song, I Can Only Imagine, a song I'm sure you're familiar with as it describes what we might see and do when we get to heaven and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you to imagine something different this morning. Not a light that demonstrates the presence of Jesus Christ or the joy that we will all experience in heaven, but I want you to imagine total darkness. If you would just close your eyes and think about these things. Total darkness, weeping and wailing and the gnashing of teeth. A place where the worm dies not and the fire is never quenched. Just as the place that you and I as believers imagine in going to heaven is real, likewise, the place of utter darkness is real as well. We have an opportunity as we go about the things that we do at this church to take light to darkness. That's the challenge that I would like to lay before you today. A challenge that is really different in a way than things that we've done before, in that it is a new challenge, although Brother Allen mentioned it a few weeks ago. I want to expand on it today. But then there is a second challenge that is new in the sense that it is greater magnitude than something we've ever laid before the people of First Baptist Cleveland. Every year at this time of the year, we receive or focus on receiving a global mission offering. Some people give to it throughout the year. As a matter of fact, thus far this year, there's been about $100,000 or $120,000 that has been given to that just by people giving over the course of the year. Last year, we received for that offering some $229,000. That was divided up between our International Mission Board's Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which is about half of our total denominational international mission offering. It was also a portion divided to our North American Mission Board Annie Armstrong Easter offering, our Tennessee Baptist Children's Homes, and helping people in our church go on international or national mission trips. We gave, I believe, the largest offering this church has ever given, some $229,000 that was divided up between those four items. That's incredible. But over the course of this past year, God has laid upon the hearts of a number of people, myself included, about a whole new level of giving and going for First Baptist Cleveland. If you remember, Brother Allen, just a few weeks ago, as he was talking about sort of the purpose and the goal and the direction for our church, he was talking about a desire to see some 10% of our people go on short-term mission trips in the year 2015. Well, how many is 10% of our people? Well, typically on any given Sunday morning, we'll average about 3,000 people in worship, all of the worship services that we have here at our church, on any given Sunday. So if you take 10% of that, that's 300 people that we desire to see go on mission trips next year, the year 2015. Well, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How's it going to happen? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So the first challenge is that we have more people than ever in a calendar year go on short-term mission efforts than we ever have in the history of this church. But the second is one that is as difficult to achieve, maybe even more difficult to achieve if you look at it from a practical perspective, and that is that rather than having a global mission offering goal of some $229,000, that we have a global mission offering goal of $500,000, an increase of more than 100%. You say, Jim, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. In these economic times with all the other things that this church has to be a part of, is that ridiculous? And I would say to you, it absolutely is. It is totally ridiculous. But I hope that over the course of this time this morning, I can share with you how God has placed upon the hearts of people that that's exactly what we ought to do, at least strive to do, and the only way it can be done is by the power of the Holy Spirit working with the hearts and lives of people. But I believe with all of my heart, and it's been evidenced in many ways, that you are a giving people. That's been demonstrated in this church time and time again. It is amazing how God works and how God has used you to touch the world. As a matter of fact, this past year, which is the way it's counted in our denomination, the last year that was counted, our church, among 40,000 Southern Baptist churches, our church was number 35 in giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Number 35 out of 40,000 Southern Baptist churches. As a matter of fact, that's an incredible accomplishment. You did that, and we praise the Lord for that. I want you to listen to the former president of the International Mission Board, whose name is Tom Eliff, as he expresses just a word of appreciation to you. Brother Tom and his family were at one time International Mission Board missionaries in Zimbabwe. They were in a situation where their car was sabotaged. It exploded. One of their daughters was burned severely. They had to come home. Brother Tom began to pastor churches. Mary Beth and I and Jim Burleson and Darla Burleson had the privilege of serving on staff at Brother Tom's church, First Southern in Dale City, Oklahoma, while he was the pastor there. Without a doubt, the most biblically wise man I've ever met in my entire life. But listen to what he has to say to express appreciation to you for what you did.
Hello, this is Tom Eliff with International Mission Board. I want to take just a few moments to thank you and to congratulate you and your church family on being in the top 100 churches in response to this year's Lottie Moon Christmas offering, an offering that was the highest in our history. You may have heard that over $154 million has been given through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. Your church led. Your church was an example. Your church has sacrificed and been so generous. And I didn't want the opportunity to pass without thanking you personally. You know, IMB is Southern Baptist churches like yours, focused together in one sacred effort to fulfill the Great Commission. We evangelize, we disciple, we plant multiplying churches among all nations in fulfillment of the Great Commission. And we can do that because of support that comes from churches like yours. Our great vision is your vision, a multitude from every language, people, tribe, and nation, knowing and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I know that you're going to join together with me in sacrificially giving, first to our cooperative program in our local churches, and then through special offerings like the Lottie Moon Christmas offering or the Annie Armstrong offering and other projects, other ways you have of supporting both the work and the workers who are going into these fields which are white unto harvest. So thank you and congratulations for leading the way in this year's Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
Brother Tom also alluded to the cooperative program giving, which every time you give to the general budget of our church, a portion of that goes to the cooperative program, which is through our Tennessee Baptist Convention, then distributed to the various mission and ministry agencies of our Southern Baptist Convention. Get this, last year you gave in such a way that First Baptist Cleveland, among all of the churches in the state of Tennessee, our church was number 5 in giving to the cooperative program. We also received a note of thanks from our North American Mission Board because our church was in a classification they call the top giving churches to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You did that. Thank you so very much for your generosity. Now, somewhere around you, maybe on the floor, maybe in the seat, there are some cards that look something like this. Would you pick up one or two of those cards? We're going to walk through this in just a moment, and we're going to come to a time of invitation, a time of commitment, where I'm going to be asking you to respond as to how you're going to give, how you're going to go, and how you're going to pray in regard to global missions. You will see on this card the names on one side of a number of cities and countries where our church already has planned or will be planning mission efforts this coming year. This is not all of them. As a matter of fact, Jim Burleson and another person from our orchestra, they're going to be going to Cuba. We have a group of people who will also be going to Sri Lanka. We also have a group of people potentially who will be going to Haiti. But in addition to those, these on the list here are ones that we know we will be participating in the year 2015. You'll also see on there a description of the various parts of the global mission offering. If you look at those first four parts, Lottie Moon Christmas offering, Annie Armstrong Easter offering, Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, First Baptist Cleveland short-term mission trips. That's people just like you who want to go on trips. These funds help pay for people's way to do that. If you add up those four items, that's $250,000. That's an increase of almost 10% just of those four things over last year. But then if you look at the other things, Send North America. Send North America is a focus that our North American Mission Board has on 32 what they call strategic cities in North America. We received an invitation that I'll talk more to you about from the three cities that are listed here to be a part of planting churches in these areas: Las Vegas, Nevada, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and Washington, D.C. In addition to that, Cambodia is a place that People for Care and Learning and our church are working together to build a whole new city. This is an incredible project that People for Care and Learning has. They are building 1,000 homes. They still need funds for 150 homes at $1,000 each. And so the Lord has laid it upon our heart to consider supporting and paying for 50 of those homes. That's what's listed next. In Nepal, because of gifts that you have given, we are helping churches that are planting churches, that are building churches, that are training pastors, that are going out into the hills of Nepal. You'll see there's sort of two parts of this. Build a church and ministry center, $25,000. That money has already been given for us to do that. The next part, support three master trainers. Master trainers are Nepali nationals who are believers who go up into the hills of Nepal and they find lost people and people who know Jesus Christ, train them to train others and begin house churches. And there is a movement that is unbelievable. Did you know that Nepal now has one of the fastest growing rates of Christianity in all of the world? And you have been a vital part of that. But you'll see that's $50,000. We already have that gift committed. Someone is going to be giving money for us to fund every bit of that. Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. You all packed some 900 boxes after it was all totaled from our church. Let's just say they totaled $20 to $30 to $40 per box. That's just an estimated $25,000 you've already given. We've already received, as I said earlier this year, about $100,000 to $120,000 toward the first four items that are listed there. We already have the $25,000 that's been given for the particular specific work there in Nepal. We have $50,000 committed. You've already done $25,000 for Operation Christmas Child. So that means you've already done $200,000 over the course of this year. We're 40% of the way to where we want to go to reach that $500,000 budget that we are laying out before you, the people of First Baptist Cleveland, for our global mission goal. Why is it so crazy to do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because times are tough economically. There's no question about that. Our budget right now is just about level to where it was a year ago. We're able to pay all of our bills, praise the Lord. We're able to have some left over, praise the Lord. You're giving incredibly to the Generations Legacy offering. As a matter of fact, this year, get this, this year we will have paid about $1.2 million on our church debt by December 31 toward paying that debt down that we might see how God might use. That's because of what you've done. You're phenomenal. It's amazing. The Manna ministry that ministers to people in our community locally, non-members of our church who have food needs or shelter needs or utility, all kinds of things. You've given about $100,000 to that as well. You are a giving people. But I want to say to you, we have a challenge before us that relates to taking light to the darkness that is at a level that is unprecedented for us ever. The passage that you heard read aloud just a moment ago came from Matthew chapter 4. Turn there if you would please. Today's message is about, and this may bug you or frustrate you, it's about 5 or 10% content and about 90 to 95% application. That's not what it ought to be all the time, but that's what it is today. Because I want you to be challenged, just as my heart has been challenged, about what you're going to do to be a part of taking light to the darkness. Matthew chapter 4, the verses that were read aloud when the lights were out and the lights came on were Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Look at verse 16. You'll notice, by the way, it is written in your Bible, in all probability, it's different from the rest of that chapter. Why? Because that is a prophecy from the Old Testament. chapter 4, verse 16 says this, "The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And to those who were sitting in the land in shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." Now, this is in the middle of the Holy Land. This is in the midst of God's people who've been living there for hundreds of years, but God says they were sitting in a great darkness. It's interesting, as you look at this particular passage in the book of Matthew, it is Matthew beginning the public ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you look just before this, you will see the account of the temptations of Jesus as he was out in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil. If you just look at it, you would think those happened exactly one right after the other, but the reality is they did not. There was about a 12-month or so span of time between the temptation experience in the wilderness and the account that we just looked at in verses 12 through 17. Jesus is beginning his public ministry. If you look at the Gospel of John, you'll see some things that took place in that 12-month time span between Jesus' temptation and the beginning of Matthew's account of his public ministry. But Jesus is beginning to go public in a place, and look at what it says, interestingly enough, in verse 15, the last phrase, "Galilee of the Gentiles." Galilee of the Gentiles was a location in the middle of the Holy Land, but it was occupied not just by Jews, but also Gentiles. Therefore, for those who were the sophisticated Jews, the religious leaders who lived in Jerusalem, they looked down upon that particular area because of the people who lived there, that they weren't as good as them. Isn't it interesting that Jesus chose to begin his ministry with a group of people that were looked down upon by most of them in that particular day and time? I believe he does that as well, doesn't he? He always comes to those who seem to be the least in the crowd. Remember who he picked to be king and who he picked to be leaders? Ones that nobody else would even think about choosing. But that's who God chose. And that's who God chooses to use today. Think about the apostles. They were people from all walks of life. None of them higher ups, if you will. But every one of them people who were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just an indicator to us that God desires to work in the hearts of every person, no matter where they are, to accomplish what God would have for them to accomplish. But as we look at this particular passage, again, we see that there is a light that is coming to the darkness, and we need to be aware of how that's going to be happening. But I want to say this to you as we think about taking light to darkness, that God is already at work in the midst of the darkness. It's an interesting point to ponder, but if you look at this particular passage in Matthew chapter 4, and we look at the reality of things that are around us, we see that God is always at work. Sometimes we lose sight of that, but we need to be reminded of that. He is always at work, and he gives us an opportunity to join him in that work. I want you to listen to a testimony of one of the guys who's been going to Nepal about how he's been privileged to join God in what he's doing. Check this out.
Nepal is one of the darkest places in the world. The first time I went over there, I was 35, and this February marks the fifth time of me going. I've never seen a place that had such hopelessness and despair and the presence of evil everywhere. Through idol worship and witchcraft, the people there just have no hope. Through Buddhism and Hinduism, religions based off works, through the caste system, a lot of people just feel like they don't have a chance. The burden I have for Nepal is to be able to go over there and share the joy and the peace and the love and the hope that Christ gives me. I want to share that with the people of Nepal. Some of the things that we're doing over there is supporting local pastors. This February, we're going to be taking the Jesus film up to the hills to share it with hopefully a mass of people. We're also supporting youth conferences and pastor conferences and going over there and supporting our local missionaries as well. Every day I wake up and think about Nepal. I pray for our missionaries, I pray for our Nepali pastors, and for the people as well. And I thank God that I'm a part of going over there and sharing His message and the love that of Jesus to these precious, precious people. Thank you.
You know, you're a part of that also. You may not have gone like Joe has been or Tim DeRoose or others who've been to Nepal, but you're a part because you give to the ministries of this church, and that helps people like that to go. And it would help you to go if you desired to do that as well. God is at work, and get this, the amazing thing is He has invited us to join Him in His work. Let me give you a little quick journey of the last 6 to 8 months in my own life. Back in the spring, God began to lay upon my heart the global mission offering and what our goal ought to be for this year. Through a number of just conversations I had with God and some other people, God just said, Jim, I believe that you need to look at $500,000. I thought, there's no way that we can do that. That's not logical. It doesn't make sense. It's not the time to do that. But I couldn't get that number off my heart. So I began to think, and all of a sudden we got a call from Vance Pittman in Las Vegas, Nevada, not about going out there and winning $500,000 that we might do this, but we got a call. He said, Jim, you all were a part of our church starting some 14 years ago. We want you all to come back and help us plant churches in Las Vegas, Nevada. We got a call from Rob Peters, who grew up in this church, is now pastoring in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Their church is heading up ministry of starting churches in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He called us up through Dave Gregory and said, Jim, we want you all to be a part of helping us in Calgary, Alberta, Canada to plant new churches up there. We got a call from our director of missions here locally, Phil Taylor. He said, Jim, I believe God's laying on my heart that our association is going to be helping out in Washington, D.C. Would you all consider coming alongside of us in helping about that? Those were specific invitations in relation to 32 cities that this church received because of our past connections with people and how they believe we could help them in that. We need to respond to that. But the big question is, how will we respond? What will we do in response to that? That's really an invitation. The current president of the International Mission Board is a man named David Platt. David Platt wrote a book some of you might be familiar with. As a matter of fact, some of you might have read this book and threw it away after you got in the first chapter. It was an unbelievably challenging book called Radical. Without a doubt, the most challenging book I've ever looked at in my entire life. But he wrote the book. He's now the president of our International Mission Board. Listen to his challenge as he lays it out before us.
Imagine 6,400 groups of people spanning a couple of billion individual people who have never even heard that God loves them and He has sent His Son to die on a cross for their sins so that they could have eternal life with Him. They've never heard the greatest news in all the world. And you and I have heard this. We know that God loves like this. And we know that God desires to show His love to all of these people. And He's calling us. I pray in the days to come, multitudes more of us to go with this gospel to people who have yet to be reached with it. At the same time, as He's calling many of us to go, He's given us all resources where we have an opportunity to give, to see more and more missionaries going with the gospel to unreached people. This is why the IMB exists. We want to mobilize the church to send missionaries going to the ends of the earth with the greatest news on the earth. And so I want to encourage you to seriously, pray and consider how God might lead you to give as you participate with Him in what He is doing to make His glory known among all the peoples on the planet.
You're going to receive an email this week sometime with a portion of a message from David Platt as he preached after he had been in Kathmandu, Nepal, and watching bodies being burned on the side of a river, as they believe that if you die with your feet in a river and you're burned, that you have a greater opportunity of going to some incredible place after life and after your death. Folks, I want to challenge you. Would you get the card out, and I want you to look at this. Now listen, we're coming to a time of response, and I know that some of you leave as soon as we start this time. I'm asking you not to do that today, okay? Because we want you to respond. We want you to respond in a number of ways. We want you to respond to this. We also are going to be receiving our offering, and maybe you have a deacon ballot that you need to put in the offering plate. But I want you to take this card out, and I want you to look at it, all right? Everybody take, would you hold a card up, please? Hold a card up. Thank you. We want you to get two cards, one for you and one to leave here. Here's the challenge as it's laid before you. Number one, that you'd give toward the global mission offering goal of $500,000, and you see how it's broken down on one side of that card. But then the second part may be more important than that, and that's how you're going to personally be involved beyond your giving. And I want to say this. There is not a single person here who claims the name of Jesus Christ that cannot participate in this challenge in some way. Every one of you cannot go. I understand that. But I want to tell you this. Every one of you can give something. Every one of you can pray. And so two out of the three things every one of you who is in here today can do if you choose to say, yes, Lord, yes. And I hope that you'll do that. But you'll see that there are the names of a number of cities and countries where we're going to be going. And again, there will be others as well. But these are for certain that are going to be taking place. You'll notice that beside them, there's a G for go, an S for send, and a P for pray. What I'd like to ask you to do, down at the bottom, you'll see there's a place for you to put your name and a contact number. You'll also see a number that you can text if you have any questions to help clarify what I'm trying to communicate with you today. But I want to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to have a brief prayer. Tyler's going to come up, and the invitation time is for you to remain seated and for you to fill out this card. The way you fill it out is by putting your name and a contact number, and then how are you going to respond to each one of these locations? Are you going to go? Are you going to send by giving? Or are you going to pray? And again, we need 300 people to say, I'm interested in going. So we really probably need about 400 or 500 who are interested so we can get the 300 who will go. If we get 50 out of the first service and 125 out of this service and 125 out of the 11 o'clock service, that's a 300 people. We probably have about, I'm going to guess, 800, 900 people in here right now. So 25% of you, not even that much, about 15% of you. If you would say yes, I'll do that. So as Tyler in just a moment comes to lead us, Tyler, would you come on up here, please? I'm going to ask for you to remain seated during the time of response, an invitation. You're being invited to respond as a member of this body, this family we call First Baptist Cleveland. And every one of you should respond. If you don't respond, something is amiss, okay? And so you should respond. What will you do in relation to this challenge? Challenge number one, to give to the global mission offering. Challenge number two, to go. I'm willing to think about going to one of these places. Tom Eliff, in 1987 or 88, challenged our church and everybody there, ask God to place a country on your heart as to where you might one of these days have an opportunity to go. It was in 1987 or 88 that God placed on my heart the country of Nepal. I didn't even go there until 2004, 17 or 18 years later before I went there. What country is he placing on your heart? What city is he placing on your heart that you can pray for? Tyler's going to lead us. It's a prayer response time that you say, yes, Lord, yes, to some challenge about going, giving, sending, or praying. Every one of you can do something. What will you do in taking light to the darkness? Father, move upon the hearts of our people to respond to you.